Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. This is going to be a very insightful hour. First, we're going to talk about a Trinity College, which is in Dublin, Ireland, a study about walking for 150 minutes per week. It's associated with improving your well-being if you're over 50. That's good news. I'm going to go into that in more depth. And we have a lot more studies, including a new study finding hydroxychloroquine delays disability from the least treatable form of multiple sclerosis, University of Calgary. Lots of uses for these drugs. And also today, we're going to take a look at the great new reset. A lot of people are unaware of what are they talking about? Well, someone who I don't know, never met, don't watch, don't listen to, Glenn Beck, he has his, you know, following, fine, but he's come out with a new book, and it's just zoomed right up to number one on Amazon in the whole world. And it's about what's going on with the Great New Reset. And he actually acknowledges it's not about a country of socialists and communists. That was his old line. Got very boring. Wasn't true. But now he's saying that he acknowledges he made an error. It's about control. Doesn't matter who's in power. They all want control over us. So I'm going to be doing a commentary today about control. How does someone get control of our lives? Why should we allow it? Who allows it? Who resists? What are the consequences? So it'll be an interesting insight. And also from the Rutherford Institute, we have two of the finest scholarly minds, constitutional legal minds, John Whitehead and his wife. They're going to be sharing their points of view as well. Then there are three very liberal, politically liberal, ideologically liberal journalists. They all have very good reputations. And one of them is saying that, is this a conspiracy theory about the Great New Reset and wanting us to own nothing and be happy? Well, it's surprising. When I watched it last night, I thought, whoa, that's a change. She's actually saying on this issue, Glenn Beck is right. Who would have thought? So, but she makes a mistake, and that's a very important mistake she makes. I will show you the mistake. You will see it and hear it for yourself. So we will put this issue to bed. Do they want to plant chips in our body? Yes. Who says? Some conspiracy nut? No. The person who is designing the entire Great New Reset. Yeah. Klaus Schwab. So you'll hear him. You'll see him in a 2016 discussion he had with members of the World Economic Forum. Probably never thought that this would get out. Maybe didn't even care. So for those who said that chip is coming, they were right. For those who said this is not about chips, they were wrong. So we have a lot to share today, and we begin right now. So new research showing data from the Irish Longitudinal Study of Aging at Trinity College shows that being physically active, for example, by power walking, for at least 150 minutes per week is associated with more social participation, better mental health, and better well-being. Overall, you're simply slowing down the aging process. That's very good. I'll add something into it. Every day until late last evening, I've been working with some of the top minds in the world on anti-aging medicine. And almost to a person, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, are working now on trying to create some outcome from using stem cells, possibly to grow a new heart or a liver or repair an existing organ or to change the thyroid in our body once it starts to weaken, no longer produces the nutrient outcome that we want. But mine's different. Mine's taking whole human beings into a setting where everyone has to do the same thing every day, so you know they're complying, and they're all doing the same identical thing. But here's what's different coming up in 3 months. We have gotten permission. These people are creating, these people, meaning some of the heads of the entire anti-aging scientific community that I've been working with, are creating biochemical protocols, meaning it used to be about 5, now it's over 30, including our mitochondria and other elements within our body that show, are we speeding up or slowing down the aging process? They can actually tell the age of your DNA. So let's just say you're 40, but the test shows you're 60. Well, you wouldn't know it. But then after a month of intensive work, what will it show then? Then the 2 more months of follow-up at home, what will it show? There's never been a study like this. And as one of the people said last night, if you're able to succeed with this, and I'm going to have 2 groups of people, 40 and over and people 70 and over, and they're all going to take the same thing, and I believe within 12 months, again, this is a hypothesis, but I believe that based upon the protocols I've created, we'll be able to reduce the biological aging by about 10 years in 1 year. 10 years. And, I mean, in some cases, may even go further back. And within 2 years, I believe in some people, we could reverse it by 30 years. So if you're 70, you'd be 40. If you're 50, you'd be closer to 25 or 30. Now again, I've done 4 studies on campus. I've done almost 50 clinical trials. I've done at least 200 health support groups, all told hundreds of thousands of people, good data. In fact, I've just asked our archivist today, find me every film that we have that the public's never seen, a before and after of all these studies, so you can see for yourself. So this has been building for decades to where we're at now, where we actually have the tools. I didn't have these tools before, to see if we can't reverse the aging of the brain, improve it. And it's interesting. I can't say more than that. I'll let you know more as we finally get ready to start our screening process. Anyhow, I share that with you because here they're saying that you can really increase your well-being and your mental health and feel better and lessen disease if you just walk 150 minutes a week. And I'm saying, what if you walk 300 minutes a week and did it fast plus did other exercises throughout the body as well? And then what if you also started to detoxify the body and got the heavy metals out, and got your enzymes working again, and started rebuilding your mitochondria, and start rebuilding in the brain the connections between the neurons, the dendritic lines that are snapped when you drink alcohol, any amount of alcohol. So there are a lot of moving pieces to what I'm about to try. Whether I succeed or not, well, we'll see. But I know some people, at least the people who I select to be in the study, are going to be a lot healthier. I mean, a lot healthier. So this is exciting, just a very exciting time. Now, a separate study involves hydroxy. And by the way, just write it down. Hydro, H-Y-D-R-O, oxychloroquine. Ox is, let me just spell the whole thing. H-Y-D-R-O-X-Y-C-H-L-O-R-O-Q-U-I-N-E, hydroxychloroquine. We know from hundreds of studies done properly, and especially at the beginning of symptoms, from clinical experience, from thousands of doctors working with millions of people throughout the world, that it makes a difference, especially used with other Orthodox FDA-approved drugs, including ivermectin and monoclonal antibodies and steroids, etc. But in this case, University of Calgary found that there are very promising results for the generic drug, and that's the key. It's generic, and it means that it's off-patent. It means nobody can profit from it. The same thing with ivermectin. Do you think for a heartbeat, if ivermectin were still under patent, that it wouldn't have been promoted everywhere for COVID? You bet it would have. And they wouldn't be charging, you know, $1 a pill. They'd be charging $500 a pill. In any case, the hydroxychloroquine was used to treat the evolution of disability, a primary progressive multiple sclerosis. By the way, that's the least treatable, the worst outcome form of the autoimmune disease. And also, this was done at the Cummings School of Medicine, and they found hydroxychloroquine helped slow the worsening of disability during the 18-month study involving participants at the multiple sclerosis clinic in Calgary. And this was published in the Annals of Neurology, a highly respected journal. Didn't see a word anywhere, because after all, if you start finding that over here they had really good results with hydroxychloroquine with multiple sclerosis, and would they then start to ask, well, maybe we should relook at all those attacks we did against hydroxychloroquine? Yeah, when they use 10,000 milligrams, which is a terrible dose to use, at the end stage, sure, you're not going to get good results, you're going to get bad results. Also, for those of you who are vegan, like myself, tree nut consumption is going to really improve your health. This is a study from Louisiana State University, published this week in the open access journal Nutrients, and it compares the nutrient density, quality, of those who consume the tree nuts. By the way, tree nuts would be almonds, Brazil nuts, cashews, hazelnuts, macadamias, pecans, pine nuts, pistachio, and walnuts, and non-tree nut consumers in a national representative population. And the tree nuts was associated with a better nutrient adequacy for most nutrients that are lacking in the diets of many Americans. So have a teaspoon to a tablespoon, I suggest a tablespoon, of organic raw nuts or nut butters every day, and you're going to be healthier. Also, from the University of Sao Paulo in Brazil, protein isolated from baker's yeast shows potential against leukemia cells, an enzyme that was identified, commonly known as brewer's yeast, has passed in vitro trials demonstrating its capacity to kill acute lymphoblastic leukemia cells. Yeah, that's really exciting. Something that's non-toxic, easy to get, and inexpensive. So for those of you who have cancer, just something to let you know, there's one more piece of the puzzle that we can put on your side to surviving. Also, Pakistan scientists say that a trial of Chinese traditional medicine worked for COVID-19. It was successful. And this was the International Center for Chemical and Biological Science in Pakistan. Local health authorities just yesterday announced the completion of a successful clinical trial of Chinese traditional medicine for treating COVID-19. And by the way, that's as Pakistan enters its fifth wave of the pandemic driven by the Omicron variant. The Chinese medicine, and let me write it down so you have it. Ready? Jinhu, J-I-N-H-U-A. Qingang, Q-I-N-G-G-A-N, the granules. They're manufactured in Beijing, and it's already been used in the treatment of COVID-19 patients in China. So why don't you find out more about this? Because now it's not just Chinese who are using it, but the Pakistani scientists have found that it works. Again, it's non-toxic, it's natural, and it's just a part of the wonderful, huge, huge repertoire of natural plants, herbs, fungus, mushrooms, roots, leaves, that the Chinese have mastered in thousands of years. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to share some ideas about how you can empower yourself to say no to what you should and yes to what you should. It's all about Should we continue to be highly tolerant of the corruption within our society in all levels of the official society? And yet, if we do anything wrong, oh, we're called out. And for those of us who are in the center of this hurricane, trying to present information, there's always multiple targets. So, and I'm talking about Chris Hedges, a target, Abby Martin, a target. These people are just decent, honorable people who have such strong spiritual convictions that they're not willing to let the truth be hidden. So they bring you the truth. For bringing you the truth, like Julian Assange, then they are set upon by people who do not contribute anything meaningful to society, but want to make sure that you're not confused. Their truth or no truth. We'll be back in a moment to share that. Later on the program, time permitting, we'll open it up for your responses and calls. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. I want to add one other thing on health, because I was just reading this, and it's from Sun Yat-sen University in Taiwan, published in Nutrition and Metabolism. It talks about berry nutrients. Now, I know that I have a lot of berries every day. When in season, the mulberries, they're wonderful, and I dry them. And you can buy dried mulberries. They're good to throw a handful in to a shake. And fresh, they leave that little purple dye on your skin. But they're terrific for you. But here's what this study is saying, published in Nutrition and Metabolism. It's saying that the antho, A-N-T-H-O, cyanins, C-Y-A-N-I-N-S, they're pigments. They're what give the fruit or vegetable its color. And they're saying, if you have the blueberries and the blackberries and the black currants, and not a lot, we're talking about 320 milligrams per day. Well, my goodness, you know, that's equivalent to only about 3 ounces of the fresh berry per day. So you're talking about a tiny amount, like a teaspoon. And I'm not for that at all. I want to see you really get up to a functional level. But even at that little level, for 24 weeks, it significantly reduced the platelet chemokine levels, and that correlates to elevated chemokines, greater risk of inflammation, and raising your cholesterol, and bad for your heart. So, want a healthier heart? Want a less likelihood of having a heart attack or stroke? Then eat your berries every day. And I know many of you are having your berries every single day, as you should, because the platelet chemokines, that's C-H-E-M-O-K-I-N-E-S, really ramp up inflammatory response. That's not good at all. It also adversely affects your immune response and other aspects of developing atherosclerosis. So when you can put the berries into your morning shake, fresh or powder, or concentrate, what you're doing is you're putting a fire extinguisher on that fire. That is important. It's simple. It's easy to understand. So one more reason to have that. And before we go to a commentary here, ask yourself, is it a time to walk away from companies that discriminate against their unvaccinated employees? Think of the young person that has autoimmune condition. Let's just give one example, multiple sclerosis. Now, needless to say, you have severe, life-threatening autoimmune condition when you have multiple sclerosis. Same for Parkinson. Same for ALS. But when was the last time a pharmacist, a nurse, or a physician at any of these hospitals and clinics said, you know something, this would not be good to overstimulate an already overstimulated and exhausted immune system? Now, I've been saying this from day one. You're going to end up with a crisis beyond imagination somewhere between the next 6 months and 3 years. I predict that you're going to have tens of millions of people around the world who were vaccinated who had autoimmune conditions and should not have been if they were treated by a physician who understood the consequences of putting a vaccine, which is an experimental vaccine, it is not actually a vaccine, it does not meet the description of a vaccine technically or scientifically, it is a biological implant into a person. Now, if you want to be a guinea pig, you have every right to do that. If you don't, or if you have a medical reason not to, you shouldn't be penalized. And one of the hosts at CNN, a disgusting comment about how the people who have not been vaccinated should not be allowed to go to the grocery store. And others have suggested that they have their health insurance taken away, so they have to pay for everything themselves, but without ever asking a person why. What was your choice based upon? Were you already infected and therefore you have natural immunity, far better than any vaccine ever created in history? And the science now, over 150 individual studies prove that. And by the way, just for those of you who, no matter what kind of crowbar is used to open up a closed mind, inside that one posting is 1,000, I repeat, 1,000 peer-reviewed studies challenging the legitimacy of the efficacy and safety of the vaccines. All right? But I'm suggesting now, is it time to walk away from companies discriminating against their unvaccinated employees? For example, who are these people that discriminate? Citigroup. By the way, if you work for Citigroup, just so you know, if you don't get vaccinated by the end of this month, you're gone. Goldman Sachs, same way. Goldman Sachs told employees that they have to have a booster shot, even if they have the other two shots, by February 1, are gone. J.P. Morgan Chase. And One America, healthcare, the National Health Services, a Mayo Clinic. By the way, the Mayo Clinic fired 700 unvaccinated employees. Retail groups like Columbia Sportswear, they're letting go of employees as of the end of this month. IKEA and Kroger, sick pay cuts for unvaccinated staff. Also Nike. Why anybody buy anything from Nike based on where they get their merchandise? But they do. Morrison's, Ocado, Tyson Foods, Vans, Supreme, Timberland, and North Face. That's all part of the VF Corporation. And they're going to fire people who are unvaccinated as of the 31st January. Services like Wexler Water, Tech, Apple, Google, Intel. Yeah? So, for example, with Google, they're telling unvaccinated employees they'll lose their pay and will eventually be fired. At Apple, they're starting on January 24th. Employees will need proof of booster. Yeah, that's three vaccines they will have had. Well, if the first two didn't work, and now we know they don't work, and then if the head of Pfizer, and I played the clip four times, you see him, you hear him, in his own words, little or no benefit. Let me repeat what he said, little or no benefit. But what about everyone else who's saying you must get this little or no benefit vaccine that can overstimulate your immune system, and in children in particular, is causing massive problems of health, heart disease that will not be reversed? So at what point do we become conscious enough that we say we will walk away from whatever we're getting from these people? Your thoughts on that? I'm going to give a commentary now. Won't be long, just something to stimulate our thoughts. And I want to thank John and Nisha Whitehead of all the work that they do, because they're out there. They're fighting in the Supreme Court. He's one of the best constitutional lawyers in America. He's right up there with Danny Sheehan and others. So we've got to start looking at who's fighting on our behalf. Now, I've written 7 commentaries in the last 9 days that I presented, and if you find them of value, if you find they have merit, share them. Word of mouth makes a huge difference. Why? Because cancel culture, political correctness, are now virtually on steroids. There's a certain pathological self-righteousness that is permeating this narcissistic age. Now combine that with a mass marketing pseudo-morality that brings us to the door of fascism. Fascism in our schools, not all, but many, especially colleges, but it's being done behind the scenes quietly for almost 40 years. But now it feels it has the upper hand, it's in power, the media's on its side, the governmental agencies are on its side, so it can do anything. And no one's going to do anything. And yet it disguises itself as being tolerant. It is not. And this has shifted into the age of intolerance. We had an age of reason. We had an age of meaning. Now we have an age of intolerance. It's policed by techno-censors, social media bullies, and government watchdogs. Everything is now fair game for censorship if it can be construed as offensive to those in power. If it runs anything, runs counter to the established viewpoint, it's attacked. In this way, the most controversial issues of our day, the things such as race, religion, sex, sexuality, politics, science, health, government, corruption, police brutality, etc., global warming, all of those should be open for lively debate and discussion. Not now. No, they become battlegrounds for those who claim to believe in freedom of speech, but only when it favors the views and positions they support. This tendency to censor, silence, delete, label as hateful, and demonize viewpoints that run counter to the cultural elite is being embraced with a near fanatical zealotry by a cult-like establishment that values conformity and groupthink over individuality. This authoritarian intolerance masquerading as tolerance and civility and even love, what was it the comedian George Carlin referred to as fascism pretending to be manners, is the end result of a politically correct culture that has become radicalized, institutionalized, tyrannical, and weaponized. So what are you going to do about it? Anything? Nothing? Do you care about your First Amendment? Because it's going up in flames before our eyes. But those first sparks were lit long ago and have been fed by intolerance all along the political spectrum. So just consider some of the kinds of speech being targeted for censorship or outright elimination. Politically incorrect speech, unsafe speech. What's unsafe speech? Well, what if I talked about those who are overweight are at a greater risk of having a comorbidity reaction, the number one comorbidity reaction, with coronavirus, and therefore putting your life at risk, and shouldn't we have a national campaign to help people safely and wisely lose weight with free clinics in every country, every county in the United States, and plus on television? That would be considered unsafe speech. You talked about me being fat. You're fat-shaming me. And therefore, I feel threatened. My very existence feels threatened. No one's attacking you for being overweight. We're trying to save your life, which is clearly something you haven't valued up to this point, or you wouldn't be overweight. But that's separate. That kind of honesty we can't tolerate. That's considered unsafe speech. No longer talk about what a person has done to contribute to their own problems. That's considered unsafe speech. Any form of anti-government speech is now considered dangerous speech. The problem is, in part, as I see it, is that we've allowed ourselves to be persuaded that we need someone else to think and speak for us. And we bought into the idea that we need the government and its corporate partners to shield us from that which is ugly or upsetting or making us feel even uncomfortable. The result is a society in which we've stopped debating among ourselves, stopped thinking for ourselves, stopped believing that we can fix our own problems and resolve our own differences. In short, we have reduced ourselves to a largely silent, passive, polarized populace incapable of working through our own problems and relying upon the government to protect us from our own fears. We have allowed our fears, fear of our safety, our fear of each other, fear of being labeled racist or hate for, prejudice, etc., to win out over our fears of freedom of speech and to muzzle us far more effectively than any government edict could. Ultimately, the war on free speech, and that's exactly what it is, a war waged by Americans against other Americans, is a war that is driven by fear. By muzzling free speech, we are contributing to a growing underclass of Americans who are being told that they can't take part in American public life unless they fit in, get vaccinated, shut up, get in line. Don't open that goddamn mouth of yours. You're not allowed to unless one of these young 16-year-old idiots come forward and says, now you can say something, but don't say anything that will make me feel uncomfortable and threaten my whole life. I'll have to call my mother, who's a lawyer, my father, who's a doctor, and all my aunts and uncles, who are all professional class. And boy, they'll tell you something. I'm special. I'm perfect. Yeah. And you've all been silent while this nonsense has been allowed to percolate and metastasize. And then one day you wake up, and it's a terminal condition. Where were you? Be warned, whatever you tolerate today, whatever you turn a blind eye to today, whatever you rationalize it today, will eventually come back to imprison us, one and all. Just a thought. I'd like to hear your thoughts. And by the way, congratulations to the Spain police officers in Valencia. Quote, we are with the people, not with the corrupt politicians. We are in contact with Portugal, Italy, France, Austria, Switzerland, Sweden, Germany, and the Netherlands to unite all the police in Europe. Down with the health passport, end quote. Well, by the way, if you want to read something that will interest you, read the article. I posted it. There is currently no COVID medical emergency, only psychological engineering, says senior Israeli immunologist. Now, mind you, this is one of the Israeli immunologists who was in control of making sure that the entire population understood that by having these first two vaccines and making it mandatory and actually having people wear bracelets, so if they went beyond a certain distance or went to a place that was not authorized, you could only go to a hospital or could go to a doctor's office or go to a limited number of places, that you could be arrested. Yeah, imagine that. So now, here's what he's saying. He's saying, now that they've had the two vaccines and are now on their fourth, they've had their third, and guess what? The vast majority of Israelis going to a hospital have been the vaccinated. Those who are very sick are the vaccinated. And by the way, 68% of the people in Ireland, in one study that I'm posting today, fully vaxxed, and they're the ones who are the sickest. So they tried to work by all manipulation of the media that it's the unvaxxed spreading all this. That's not true. Well, the attempts of governments across the globe at psychological engineering the population on COVID-related matters has now been fully exposed. And this is a well-respected immunologist, the top of the class in immunology in Israel. And he's concerned. He wrote a letter. And by the way, read the letter. It's by a professor, Ud Amaron, Quimaron, Q-I-M-R-O-N. And he is the head of the Tel Aviv University's Department of Microbiology and Immunology. And he rips off vaccine-focused COVID tactics endorsed by authorities across the globe. And he says that these labels are doomed to fail. Quote, 2 years late, you finally realize that a respiratory virus cannot be defeated and that any such attempt is doomed to fail. By the way, he wrote this to the Israeli Health Ministry. Quote, you do not admit it because you have admitted almost no mistakes in the last 2 years. But in retrospect, it is clear that you have failed miserably in almost all of your actions, and even the media is already having a hard time covering your shame, end quote. And he reprimanded all Israeli authorities for failing to recognize that COVID-19 vaccines will neither eliminate the virus nor provide herd immunity, as the government immunization campaign failed to do. Quote, you refuse to admit that the infection comes in waves that fade by themselves, despite years of observations and scientific knowledge. you refuse to admit that recovery is more protective than a vaccine, despite previous knowledge and observations showing that non-recovered vaccinated people are more likely to be infected than recovered people, meaning the vaccinated people are not as healthy and not as protected as those who just get the virus. Quote, you refuse to admit that the vaccinated are contagious despite the observations. Based upon this, you hope to achieve herd immunity by vaccination and you failed in that as well. Quote, you have ignored many reports of changes in menstrual intensity and menstrual cycle times. You hid data that allows for objective and proper research. Instead, you chose to publish non-objective articles together with senior Pfizer executives on the effectiveness and safety of vaccines. The truth is that you have brought the public's trust in you to an unprecedented low, and you have eroded your status as a source of authority. You have destroyed the education of our children and their future. You made children feel guilty, scared, smoke, drank, get addicted, drop out, and quarrel, as school principals around the country attest. You have harmed livelihoods, the economy, human rights, mental health, and physical health. You slandered colleagues who did not surrender to you. You turned the people against each other, divided society, and polarized the discourse. You branded, without any scientific basis, people who chose not to get vaccinated as enemies to the public and as spreaders of disease. You promote, in an unprecedented way, a draconian policy of discrimination, denial of rights, and selection of people, including children, for their medical choice, a selection that lacks any epidemiological justification. In conclusion, there is currently no medical emergency. The only emergency now is that you still set policies and hold huge budgets for propaganda and psychological engineering instead of directing them to strengthen the healthcare system. This emergency must stop, end quote. Who said all this? Again, one of the most respected people in all of Israel in science. He is a leader. He wrote a letter to the Israeli Ministry of Health. He is the renowned immunologist and Professor Ehud Qimron, head of Tel Aviv University Department of Microbiology and Immunology. He put his whole reputation on the line for this. Good for him. But there was another person, one of the most famous, highly respected people in all of science. Why? Because he was the original discoverer of all the technology that became the RNA vaccine. So if it weren't for him, you wouldn't have gotten the RNA vaccine. And yet he is pro-vaccine. Here's a short clip. Listen carefully. This person was as orthodox as you get, associated with the FDA and the World Health Organization, all these bodies, peer-reviewed journals. He's a medical doctor and a scientist. And here he's telling you, you can say what you want, do what you want. You know, I'm 60-some years old. I got my property, a horse farm almost paid for. So I'm just going to tell you the truth. I have nothing to lose. But a lot of people do have a lot to lose because they're still trusting you all, and they shouldn't. And by the way, in my whole career, I've never seen this kind of courage before. I have not in the ranks of medical doctors. The holistic doctors, cowards. With two exceptions, all cowards. You know, and I know because I had to go to court, I had to do all the research to show that what they were doing was legitimate and that helped them. But did they come together? Did they work together? No. No, that would have been taking a chance. Here's a guy who's telling you the truth. And if anyone at Pacifica, if any of you people at Pacifica want to debate him, I'll arrange it. If you want to debate me, I'll arrange it. Because the misinformation that I hear going out, because all I ever hear is propagandizing and the politicalization of every issue instead of looking at where is the science, where is the facts, where are the proof outside of an ego to support your contention. Let's listen to Dr. Malone, Robert Malone.
My name is Robert Malone. I'm a physician and a scientist, but more importantly, I'm a father and a grandfather. I don't usually read from a prepared speech, but this is so important that I wanted to make sure that I got every single word and fact, scientific fact, correct. I stand by this statement with a career dedicated to vaccine research and development. I'm vaccinated for COVID, and I'm generally pro-vaccination. I've devoted my entire career to developing safe and effective ways to prevent and treat infectious diseases. After this, I'll be posting the text of this statement so that you can share it with your friends and family. Here's the thing. Before you inject your child, a decision that is irreversible, I wanted to let you know the scientific facts about this genetic vaccine, which is based on the RNA vaccine technology I created. There are three main issues that parents need to understand before they take this irrevocable decision. The first is that a viral gene will be injected into your parent's cells. This gene forces your child's body to make toxic spike proteins. These proteins often cause permanent damage in children's critical organs. These organs include their brain and nervous system, their heart and blood vessels, including blood clots, their reproductive system, and most importantly, this vaccine can trigger fundamental changes to their immune system. The most alarming point about this is that once these damages have occurred, they are irreparable. They cannot be reversed. You can't fix the lesions within their brains. You cannot repair heart tissue scarring. You cannot repair a genetically reset immune system. And this vaccine can cause reproductive damage that could affect future generations of your family. The second thing you need to know is about the fact that this novel technology has not been adequately tested. We need at least 5 years of testing and research before we can really understand the risks associated with this new technology. The harms and risk from new medicines often become revealed many years later. I ask you to ask yourself, as a fellow parent, if you want your child to be part of the most radical experiment in human history. One final point. The reason they're giving you to vaccinate your child is a lie. Your children represent no danger to their parents or grandparents. It's actually the opposite. Their immunity after getting COVID is critical to save your family, if not the world, from this disease. Finally, in summary, there's no benefit for your children or your family to be vaccinating your children against the small risks of the virus, given the known health risks of the vaccine that, as a parent, you and your children may have to live with for the rest of your lives. The risk-benefit analysis is not even close with this vaccine for children. As a parent and grandparent, my strong recommendation to you is to resist and fight to protect your children.
Okay, that's Dr. Robert Malone. He invented, let's be very clear, he invented the very technology and supported vaccineology for 40 years. He invented the RNA technology. He has published multiple peer-reviewed journals. And until he started to see the problems with this vaccine and look at the inconsistencies in what was being said, he got his own vaccine shots of the RNA. Would he tell you to give it to your child? You just heard him say, fight and resist. Every single study that I can find in the world literature says the same thing. Your children are not at risk of dying from COVID. In fact, there is less than a 0.1% of them dying. They're going to die from a lot of other things, accidents and drowning, but not COVID. Now, if they have comorbidities, then you have to work on those comorbidities. And those who have died, they've died of leukemia and obesity and heart disease from lifestyle and only had COVID present as an antibody reaction. They didn't die from COVID. So that's the truth of it. So this is purely about making money. It has nothing to do with public health. Just remember this. In a year from now, when this is all passed and everybody realized what kind of mistake they made by overreacting and not dealing with the true problems and treating people early on and having a national preventative program, but that's still to come. Your turn to call in, 888-874-4888. I've set 10 minutes aside for you today. And also, for those of you who can't listen live but listen to this program on the archive, please write down the archive number. And I realize that some people had trouble getting onto the archive. It's because we've had such an enormous increase in our audience. I mean, just it's huge. Just when I ask Jesse, how many people over the weekend or last week, and just we're talking about short periods of time, 15, 40, 60,000 people just downloading. It just keeps growing. So we're adding another number. Here's our archive number, our new archive number. So you'll get to listen to the show and download it from here. 631-359-9463. 631-359-9463. And of course, to listen live every day. And we have a new number for that also. Is 425-390-6095. 425-390-6095. But if it's busy or you can't connect, it means there's too many people getting on and our bandwidth is filled. We got another bandwidth, got another phone. 605-562-5119. 605-562-5119. Let's say hello to Anna from New Jersey. Hi, Anna, your turn.
I'm 64 years old and I was diagnosed with macular degeneration, the wet form. And currently, I am getting shots of Avastin in both eyes. And I would like to know, what else can I do to save my eyes?
Well, the reason that cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration occur is because one of the major contributing factors is inflammatory cytokines can be due to any number of highly acidic food or beverages that you're taking. If you have caffeine, bad for the eyes. Any form of alcohol in any amount is terrible for the eyes. Any form of smoking, including marijuana smoke, which is really bad for the eyes. And highly acidic foods. Stay away from all sugars, artificial sweeteners. And then go on a high lycopene diet. Juicing with carrots, celery, cucumbers, red peppers, yellow peppers, and then supplement with any of the known nutrients that are shown to have an impact on helping the macula and helping the eye itself. And I've written several articles on eye care, so just go up on GaryNall.com, go through the 800 articles, and find the articles on eye care, and read them, and that gives you your whole protocol, all right? Let's say hello to Myatt from New York. Hi, Myatt, your turn.
Yes, thank you, Gary, for all your work. First, I want a point of clarification, and then I have 2 points that goes along with what you've been talking about. For those of us who were scrambling for our pens around the, I believe it was a Pakistani study on Chinese Jinhua and a Q herb or compound, I'd like to know when I go to GaryNull.com where I can get that more specific information. I didn't get the Q word spelling. Now, the first point I want to make is that sometimes a tidbit of news tells you a lot. So about 2 or so weeks ago, the CD came out with, as the, I think it was the Norwegian and the Royal Caribbean cruise lines had to close down, they told people that even if you're vaccinated, do not try to do a cruise. And they also cited scores of people on these cruises that were going on at the time who were vaccinated, and the number seemed to be higher than the ones that weren't vaccinated. The other point that I want to make is regarding a clip you played a few months ago that needs to be in rotation, maybe on a two-week basis as an example. It was a clip from the, I think it's called the International Bank of Settlements or the Bank of International Settlements. It's the bankers' bank. Most people have never heard of it. But basically what I heard is you could almost envision, excuse me, some huge mahogany table going around with statements including both women and men, and with glee that you could hear in their voices saying the internet of bodies. And that's my comment, and I'll listen over the air in terms of finding that herbal or fungus J&Q medicines, how I would find that. Thank you so much for your work, brother.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to ask right now, Rodney or Jesse, which address do you recommend people contact to get all the show notes every day? Because I list all the information when I spell something, when I'm giving you dates or titles or magazines or peer review or quoting from something, we always post it. Plus a lot more stuff than I can possibly get to on the air. Probably five times more is posted each day than what I even broadcast. So write this down, okay? All right, progressiveradionetwork.com. I repeat, progressiveradionetwork.com. Go to where it says show notes, Gary Show Notes, and there's all the articles, all the information, all the spelling, so you can take your time. I realize when I'm giving a number or spelling of something, maybe people don't have something to write with, and that's fine. But at least that gets you to where you need to go. All right, gets you all the information you need. And for example, when I mentioned earlier in the program that I was going to play a, you know what? Let me play it. I've got two clips on Klaus Schwab. One I don't have time today to play, but I got a 60-second clip. Jesse, would you play the 60-second clip? There's two clips. One where he talks about the implant, but it's a little longer. This is a shorter one. But he tells you what to expect, and this was in 2021.
What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities. When I wrote the book, I started to write it four years ago. It was published 3 years ago. It was sold by, very interesting.
Okay, that's just one clip. You heard what he said. That's Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum, and the person who's kind of coordinating all the different groups, and there are hundreds of different groups, and selected from Davos, selected from the Council on Foreign Relations. Individuals are selected from all these power groups to participate, to give it legitimacy. Biological, he said. And then in the other clip, he says we're going to get chips so that we have biological markers. But now these chips, his first statement was in 2016. That's where he said we're going to chip everybody and through the vaccines. So the vaccines are the opportunity for them to get the data on a person. Now, I'm not saying that they caused the pandemic. That's not what I'm referring to. And I challenge people who said, well, the reason was population control. I disagree with that. But I do know that they've taken advantage of this pandemic, and now they're looking at, in nice words, how we can get out of it by trusting them. You will own nothing, and you'll be happy. Tomorrow, Kim Iverson is going to take a look at that, and she agrees this is a dangerous precedent. But more importantly, there's a person that's going to be on tomorrow in depth explaining why you do not want anything taken away from you and given to a corporation. Because remember, someone always has to own something. And it's the corporations working with the government that will own everything, to which you will have ownership of nothing. And by the way, not even your own thoughts. You are aware when you do that DNA test to determine your ancestry that they now own the rights to your DNA. Didn't read the contract? You should have. So now they're going to chip people. That's their process. But in that chip, they're already leapfrogging ahead, not just your medical records, but everything else they want to get from you, they will have in that chip. Watch what's happening now, and watch what Elon Musk is doing and trying to help, quote, help people with their brains. No, like everything else this megalomaniac is doing, it's all about him and what kind of control he can have. We're going to go into that in depth tomorrow. We have time. We want to say goodbye to WBAI so they can take their and continue to support BAI by becoming a buddy and pledging. That would help them, and that's a good thing. Their number to pledge for becoming a buddy is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. I hope you do support them. And if we have time for another call, and Rodney, do we have another call? We'll put them up. Who from New Jersey? William from New Jersey. Hi, William. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. How are you doing? Hey, Gary, everything you're saying makes so much sense, like with the children being vaccinated, forced vaccination to go to work. And now I'm reading about Novak Djokovic, the tennis player, Kyrie Irving from the Nets, Aaron Rodgers, and those who stand out and protest that they don't want this vaccine. They're getting castigated. I was just wondering, how does your information that is so helpful get out to the masses? Because how do you see this working, playing itself out? And I'll listen, because I know your time is short. Thanks, Gary.
Okay. I see it getting out where people say that this has legitimacy. And again, if you don't find legitimacy, if something I say is not reasonable, don't use it. But challenge it. And if you can challenge it and see that I'm sharing something not based upon my own biased opinion, which is all people's opinions are biased because it's their opinion, and it doesn't have to be malicious, it's just you can be wrong on something. But if we have found that something is right, we've discovered something, and it could benefit people, then share that. Send it out to everyone on your list and ask them to play it forward. And then one day, someone gets something who is a policymaker, an opinion leader, and that then helps them become more familiar with the truth. You know, it was interesting. One time, Tom Cruise was on Oprah or some show and was jumping up on the furniture and celebrating, you know, his relationship with the person he was going to marry. Fine. So he was exuberant. That doesn't make you crazy. What got them, though, was his attack against psychiatry. And what do you want to bet that he had looked at my film, The Drugging of Our Children, and read some of the articles I'd written on the dangers of psychoactive drugs in children that had published in the Townsend Letter for doctors and for physicians and patients? And why is because the words he were using were directly out of the article. Now, I have not spoken with Tom Cruise, but I know people who know him, and I know people who had my work. And when I was in L.A. Getting an award, for humanitarian award, some years ago, these people knew him. So you suddenly get something into someone's hands that then doesn't make them seem like they're coming off on an issue unprepared or unscientifically. So you start passing around information, especially that which is documented, especially that which can be used in a court of law, and suddenly it educates people. It gives them confidence and strength, and that's important. In fact, I don't have it now somewhere in our archives, but I once had over 100 different letters from people, unsolicited, came into our office over about a five-year period, that my articles, The Fluoride Fiasco, which were scholarly articles, fully scientific reference, showing the dangers of fluoridation, and these were taken up by concerned citizens and taken to community hearings and presented as evidence against fluoridation, even when they didn't have a scientist. Now, I've been invited as a scientist and actually went. I had a half hour. Neighbors showed up. Neighbors down in Texas showed up and said, Gary, they want to put a chicken processing plant on top of a hill over a lake that 80 people live on. We don't have anyone to talk who's any science background, and you've written on this. Could you help? I said, sure. So they drove me over there, and the committee was just ending, and they allowed me to come in. I told my credentials. They allowed me in as a witness, and I shared what I had. But then I gave everyone articles I'd written to keep it going, because don't give your opinion, give facts, because you can hold them accountable. We presented you with evidence that was scientifically valid. Did you consider it? Did you use it? Versus we're going to sit here and yell at you because we don't like what you're doing. That's non-constructive. That's not going to get anyone to change. So that's why it's so important to take what you find is value and play it forward. And that's why we, in my office, in everything I write, I've always put the documentation so that you could take it into a court of law and present it, and it would not be able to be destroyed by cross-examination. We're out of time. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.